thing about the word, and I wish it was this way with stuffing and mashed potatoes, is you hit a wall, man. I mean, you just get to a point where you can't do anymore, and it's a bummer because it tastes so good, you know. And but with the word, it tastes so good. You just keep stuffing and stuffing and stuffing. Praise the Lord. You can't ever get enough. Glory to God. And so we're grateful and thankful for that. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can go to 3 John. There's only one chapter in 3 John, so we'll go to chapter 1, verse 2. Hallelujah. 3 John, verse 2. Father, we love you this morning. We are in love with you, Father. We're just so grateful. I'm just enamored with you, Lord, and your goodness and your mercy, your kindness. Father, you are so merciful. And Father, we could never thank you enough or praise you enough. But Lord, just know that we have a grateful heart this morning and we have an expectant heart this morning. Father, we want you to be God here. That means you do what you want to do. You say what you want to say. And Father, we'll give you the glory for that. And Father, speak to hearts this morning. I know according to your word that it is your will that I would speak as the oracles of God. So I thank you that will happen. And Father, I know according to your word that it is your will that I would speak with boldness and with utterance this morning. So Father, we thank you that will also take place. I latch onto that and grab onto that by faith. And Father, we thank you you're going to hit bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. You're going to speak directly to them exactly what they need to hear. And Father, it won't be so that you're just playing games. It's so that they can grab onto it and watch their life be transformed into more of the image of you, Father. Go to a new level of glory. So speak to us, Father, and we thank you that when you do, it'll be a word in season, exactly what we need to hear at this point in time in our life. And then, Father, we have an opportunity to do something with that word. You always set the table for us, but it's our job to partake and to do the word. And so, Father, we thank you for help this morning. We thank you for revelation, for insight, for illustration. And Lord, we just thank you we're going higher after today. We'll never be the same. We're going to walk out of here better. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. 3 John, verse 2 says, beloved, it's important that you know that beloved means he's talking to Christians. Amen? You do know the world's not God's beloved. Now, he loves the world, but they're not his beloved. They're not family. They're outside the family. In fact, they're, you know, unsaved people. They're who their daddy is, right? It's the devil. Amen? It's the truth. You are of your father, the devil, the Bible says. And so, when he's talking to beloved, he's talking to Christians, fellow Christians. And he says, beloved, my children. Now remember, this isn't John saying this. This is the Holy Ghost. All scriptures God-breathed. Beloved, I wish above all things. You can say, I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. Well, God seems like a good dad to me.
Amen.
Because I want my children to prosper and also be in health. Don't you, moms and dads? Amen?
Amen.
Guardians, if we have any guardians here, don't you want your children to be blessed and highly favored and prosperous and healthy? And that's what God wants for his kids as well. Praise the Lord. And it says first and not foremost, and again, I'm amazed at people that are against the prosperity doctrine, because the first thing that God says to his children that I want for you, now again, remember, they're already saved, so don't think that Pastor Mike's saying that salvation is less than prosperity. No, he's already talking to saved people. My kids are already saved. I don't have to sit around and wish for their salvation. I don't have to sit around and hope for their salvation. No, but I can believe for their prosperity and their health to walk in the rest of their life.
Amen?
Amen? And he says, beloved, I wish above all things. The first thing he says is that you would prosper. Well, I believe that people get mad at the prosperity doctrine because I do believe that people have gotten into the ditch of excess on it and have twisted things. There's been manipulation. There's been fraudulent actions in the church and make people very skeptical at times. But if we look at it through the eyes of God, through his scope, praise God, it makes sense then. Why would God want his children to prosper? Well, there is an element that we're his kids and that he wants us blessed, absolutely. The Bible says that the Lord takes pleasure, Psalm 35, 27. In the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure when we prosper. Why? He's dad. Amen. We're his kids. Hallelujah. But there's a greater reason that God would want His children to prosper, because His children are His body. The Bible says we are the body of Christ. Well, Jesus is the head. And if you think of a natural body, my mind can want that bottle of water and take a drink, and my body can be thirsty, and my mind can say, okay, I know what to do. But if my body doesn't hook up with what my mind is saying or doing, it doesn't matter that I want that drink of water. My body has to carry it out. Well, it's the same way with God. He's got a plan and a purpose for the world, and it includes His children going out and doing the work. The body of Christ. Jesus isn't here anymore, and God's on the throne. We're the ones carrying it out. And so, of course, He would want us to prosper for His kingdom's sake. So here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. When God does something for through His kingdom and on the earth, it costs money. When God does something on the earth that costs money, He expects His people or His children to fund it. That means God has to prosper you to get His work done, because the sinner is not sending checks to the church. The sinner's not building church buildings. The sinner's not paying for the missionaries to go or the word to go across the world. He wants, number one, the number one reason and the number one scope that prosperity should be viewed through is the end time harvest of God in reaping souls. Because a blessed church financially is a church that can do what God's called them to do. Amen? How many churches, I know several that have had to shut down because they didn't have the funds. A purpose and a plan that was uncarried out simply because there was no money. Well, that shouldn't be the case, because God wants us to prosper. So our focus and our thought should be, let's be prosperous so we can be a greater blessing. At least that's my heart. Lord, bless me so I could be a blessing, right? Because let's be honest, because if you're wondering what the biblical definition of prosperity is, it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We don't need to turn there. But over there in verses 6 through 10, it says this is what the biblical definition of prosperity is. He has all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things. See, He's worried about you. Or I should say interested in you. He's not worried. But He wants you to have all sufficiency in all things. That's you taken care of. That's your needs met. That's you blessed. Why? Because you're His kid. Amen? But it doesn't stop there. He says the prosperity is not just meant for you. He says, but that you'll also have enough so that you can abound to every good work. He said, I want you to have so much you're taken care of, but then enough left over, not to just give into some works, but to give into every good work. Amen. Amen. But notice God is saying, if you're not taken care of, you won't be much of a help to the work.
Right.
People that are broke and can't pay your bills aren't funding much of anything. Amen? Now, if you're in that position, well, let's get you out of that position. Amen? But that's to be honest. Back when I was broke, I wasn't being much of a blessing to the house of God. I wasn't able to follow my spirit and give offerings. God couldn't tell me anything in my heart because I didn't have any money. I wasn't doing much for God. Well, when I get more and more blessed and keep walking in the principles and the light of the Word, then I can be a funder. I can give offerings. I can support ministers. I can support missionaries. I can be a blessing when God can talk to me about doing something sacrificial. So we need to be prosperous.
Amen.
You might say to yourself, and this is a selfish, in the eyes of the word, it sounds humble. Well, I don't need very much, and I'm okay just having a little. That's selfish.
That's right.
Maybe for yourself you're simple, but man, increase for the others and for the kingdom. Endeavor to be increased. Maybe so you're not going to, you know, store up for yourselves, and that's not your purpose, but be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, prosperity has souls attached to it, has the plan of God attached to it. Not only does it have your interest, which ought to get you interested in this message, you being blessed, wouldn't it be nice to not worry about your bills? Wouldn't it be nice to have all your needs met? To drive a reliable vehicle, to live in a reliable home, to wear nice clothes? Yeah, that's all part of it. But wouldn't it be better to have all that plus give building funds, give to offerings, and have God speak to your heart about a parking lot offering that you can sow and get into more increase? Wouldn't that be nice? Amen. Yeah, it would. It's called prosperity. You being blessed, but then having enough to be a blessing. Well, notice it says here, I wish that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul is not talking about your spirit. Your spirit's already prosperous. It's born again. It's renewed unto God. Day by day, it gets stronger and stronger, better and better. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. And he says, your prosperity and you walking in health are dependent on what your mind does. See, your prosperity doesn't start in your wallet. Doesn't start at your job. Your health in your body doesn't start at the doctor's office. It doesn't start with a blood test. Doesn't start with a diet. It starts with between the ears. Your life will only be as good as what's between your ears. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now, you say, I don't know if I believe you. Well, Kim, why we pull up Romans chapter 12 and verse 2? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He says, be not conformed to the world. He's talking to believers. He said, don't be like the world. He says, but be ye transformed. What's transformed mean? To turn into something different. Be transformed. Transformed from what? Poverty to what the Word says, which is prosperity. Amen. Sickness to what the Word says you can have. Health. Depression to what the world says you can, or the Word says you can have, which is joy. Fear to victory. All these things the Word says. How are you going to be transformed from what the world goes through to what the Christian can have? It's not when God decides to just do something for you. It's not a heavenly lottery and God's sitting at the heavenly slot machine and pulls the thing and your name comes up three times. He said you're going to be transformed or renewed into what God says you can be by the renewal of your mind. Transformation from poverty and lack and not having enough to prosperity and abundance starts between the ears. Now go back to 3 John verse 2, please. He said, as your soul prospers. If your soul's not prospering, your natural prosperity won't be there. If your soul's not prospering, your thinking's not right, your physical healing won't be there. It just won't. Starts up here. The transformation starts up here. I had an interesting experience a few years back, and I've never struggled with money since. Never struggled with money since. I didn't say I haven't had tests, but I didn't struggle through the tests. You know, there was one girl I'm thinking of in my class growing up. I begged and begged for her to let me copy off her paper. She said, Mike, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you. You can study. I studied hard for this. I said, Stephanie, what's it going to hurt you? Just let me do it. Nope, not going to do it. But here's what I noticed. We got the same exact tests. And she would pass with flying colors and not struggle through that thing at all. And I'd be lucky to get a C or a D, and I'd struggle through that thing. We all are going to get tests, but how are you going to look coming out of that test?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's true. And I've never had a financial struggle in a test since this experience. I was in Mississauga, Ontario for a Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy meeting. It was the night meeting. And Dr. Dufresne's praying in tongues and gets something in his spirit. And he says, there's some of you here, and this is the words he used, you're in desperate need financially. Desperate. So I don't mean you wish you had more money. You're in desperate need. Well, in that season of my life, I was. Not only was I, but the church was that way as well, in a bad, bad place financially to keep going. So I went up and had the prophet lay hands on me and believe in the anointing that he has on his life. But what was interesting is the next morning service, let's say I'm sitting right here, Pastor Nancy comes and starts to preach a service. And for 90 to 95%, maybe more of that message, she stood about this far away from me. And she preached about the renewal of your mind concerning finances. And she looked at me a lot of times. Everybody in the church knew she was talking directly to me. Now, everybody else was benefiting because it was the Word, but she's talking directly to me. Now, a lot of people would have got offended and said, oh, man, she's talking to me. Yeah, giving me my answer.
Yeah.
Pastor, you said something about my money and about my this and that, and you looked right at me. Well, what was I saying? Well, you were giving me the Word. Well, then you ought to be thanking me.
Amen.
Amen. This is the truth. And she stood right there. See, I was just, the whole time I wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. The whole time I was thinking, yes, help me. I don't want to be poor anymore. I don't want to struggle anymore. And she talked about the importance of how your money, you can come up and get an anointing. It's just like people that come up and get hands laid on them for health and healing. If you don't go back and renew your mind to what the Scriptures say about healing, the devil will come take that away from you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she stood right in front of me almost the whole service. She paced a little bit and stood there and preached on renewing your mind. And if you ever heard Pastor Nancy, she doesn't mince words. She was bold, and it was like, whack, whack, yeah. I mean, it was just like, she's giving it to me, you know. Oh, it feels so good. Keep it coming. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. You got to get your mind renewed. Got to get your mind renewed financially. Well, then I heard her say a statement. See, sometimes I'm not as good as at articulating things, and then I'll hear other people say what I've been preaching or what I've been believing or what I've been meditating on, and I'll say, okay, finally, there's a label for it. There's something I can put, kind of, the label kind of gives, you know, a suitcase without handles is hard. You can get it around and move it around, but you get a handle on there, it makes it easier. And sometimes they get a handle on that thing, and it helps me. And she said, when it comes to biblical prosperity, what's biblical prosperity? You having more than enough, and then enough left over to meet every good work. She said, the main thing that determines whether or not you walk into biblical prosperity, the main thing, now it's not the only thing, but it's the main thing, is what you do with your money. What you do with what the Word says to do about your money. Amen. She said, giving, the doctrine of giving, tithes, offerings, and obeying your spirit is the number one thing that people need to get straight if they ever expect to walk into biblical prosperity. And I've been preaching that and saying that. Well, now I had her say it, the prophet of God say it. That's the number one thing. I said, finally, it made more sense to me. It became clearer to me. And so, here's the thing you have to understand. If our prosperity is determined upon our thinking, and if our prosperity, number one, to walk into the exact will of what God has for us prosperity, which it's good when God gets involved. Amen. If that takes our giving and what we do with our money, then our mind must be renewed to what the Word says we are to do with our money. So that way we can then do what the Word says with our money and then walk into what God has for us.
Amen.
I'm happy to report, I won't tell you who. I'm happy to report, remember I told you the Lord gave me a dream. And then on my way to church the next morning, the Lord told me what that dream was about. That He had been talking to somebody about giving a $10,000 check to the church. And I was to say that to encourage, because if you've never sown a $10,000 seed before, or if it's not a good time to sow a $10,000 seed, your mind and your flesh can work on you. Anyone ever been there? Where God's told me to do stuff, and it's like, oh my gosh. And the longer you delay what God does, the harder it gets, because the devil will sit there and pump thoughts into you. And I knew that was one of the cases that people just, and I, because I've been there before. I know you struggle and struggle and struggle with it. That came in. But here's my point with this whole thing, is that if we need prosperity to do the end time work, if we need prosperity for us to fulfill, even in our personal lives, meet our needs and things, and if God is going to tell us specific things in the Word through tithes and offerings, which people trip up on those things all the time, and if God is going to do things like He did with that $10,000 offering, or things He did with people in the parking lot, some people sowed some very generous seeds and it was hard on their flesh. And it was hard on their mind. When God tells us to do that, when we know by what we've seen in the Word that God's only trying to get us into more increase, we better have our minds renewed when He comes and says, hey, write this check. Because if our minds are not renewed to it, we might not ever write that check. We might not ever obey what the Word says. And then we're going to miss out on our personal prosperity, but also the prosperity that was meant for the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So God uses people's obedience with their money to bless and prosper themselves, but also for the kingdom. We see it in the Word. The widow woman, God said, give your last meal. That's a financial sacrifice, a material sacrifice. Give your last meal. Well, thank God she did, because not only did it bless the plant of God, the man of God, and nourish him, but it got her into a harvest that she could have never experienced. What about the widow woman over in 2 Kings chapter 4 that had a debt to pay off, and they were coming to take her sons away? And Elijah said, hey, go do this through the word of the Lord. Inconvenient, hard on the flesh, but she did it, and it led to a greater blessing.
Right.
What about Peter? Hey, Peter, I know you've worked all night. I know you're cleaning your boat and trying to get out of here, but I need your boat. So God said, I need your tithe. I need your offering. Yeah, but it's not convenient. Hey, give $10,000. Hey, give this to the parking lot. Hey, it's not convenient. Doesn't feel good. Yeah, but I need it, God's saying. And if you'll do it on the other side of that, oh, you'll be glad you did. But if our minds are not renewed to what God has said in the Word, we won't do what God has said to do. And you don't realize how you'll be robbing from yourself and robbing from being able to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So we need to think right about prosperity. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let me just say it this way. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible concerning material things and money. That is far more than heaven and hell combined. Let me say it again because I don't think you understand what I said. You see, why do you talk about money? Maybe I ought to talk about it more because it's the most thing that God talked about. He didn't talk about anything more in the whole Bible than money and material things. He talked more about it than heaven and hell combined. Yeah. Doesn't mean that money's more important than heaven and missing hell, but it's the area that people struggle and trip up the most. By far. It's the number one area people struggle and have a problem in. I can't tell you, well, actually I could, because I was keeping a count at one time. We were in the 20s, not too long ago, of people, high 20s, of people that were here for over 2 years. Do you imagine what 20 people added to this church would look like? We'd almost have to be on the verge of going to our second Sunday service. Actually, if those 20 people that were faithful for 2 years were still here, I was having a count of high 20 people that have left this church just because of the tithe. That was a specific reason they told me, I don't want to hear about the tithe anymore. And they were faithful for 2 years. And they're gone. Money is the area that trips people up the most. It's the area that when people call me or knock on my door for help, by far they struggle with the most. Other pastors across the board say it's not even close. The number one reason in America and in the church that marriages break up, it's money. There's other reasons, but the number one reason is money related. It just is. It's just the facts. And so I believe that's why God talked so much about it. He knew that's where my people are going to struggle. That's where my people are going to trip up the most. So let's give them the most information. You know, it's kind of like this, you know. I'm so thankful. I hope you know that when I think the world of all your kids, and at times I think, man, you know, you don't get up here and say things about your kids. And, you know, I try to temper that with all the great stories of my kids' disobedience and, you know, not listening. Because I certainly hope people don't think I'm bragging about my children and put my kids over yours. You know, we have some amazing children in this church. And I love hearing about all the things that they're doing. And people send me pictures of them at dance or different things. And I love it. You know, we have amazing kids. But so when I say this, please know I'm not trying to exalt my kids or brag about my kids, but we had an awesome fall this year. You know, in Pennsylvania, they allow a 7-year-old to hunt deer with an adult. The adult has to carry the gun, but the 7-year-old can shoot, and it's a youth mentor program. They have a 3-day season. And Caleb shot his first deer this fall. And he was so fired up, 125-yard shot, and I got the video out right after. And he's like, his voice is quivering, and he's on the verge of tears. He's just so excited about it. He had his little ear things on, and I'm like, buddy, what just happened? He's like, I shot my first doe. And I'm like, what just happened? Meaning, tell me about the hunt. And he's like, I shot my first doe. Said it again. I'm like, that's not what I mean, but this is great. This will be a great thing to see for years to come. But here's the thing. He had to learn about how to handle a firearm and a weapon. And there's certain things, there's a lot of things about a gun you can talk about. But there's certain things that he can't trip up on, or it's going to cost me my life, cost him his life, or cost somebody else their life. So, those things like the safety, where you point the gun, always assume a gun is loaded. These things, you go over and over and over and over. Why? I can't afford for him to trip up in that area. Can't afford for him to trip up in that area. Now, there's other things, talking about how to hold it and, you know, your breathing when you pull the trigger and how you, you know, with your finger and how you just pull it back one steady motion. There's other things that are important, but I don't talk about the trigger pull and how to hold it and the breathing as much as I talk about you don't point that in any other direction. You always make sure it's on safety. All these things over and over. It's the same thing. There's lots of things in the Word, but see, God can't afford us to trip up in this area. You can't afford your own life to trip up in this area. Yeah. Hallelujah. I see so many people trip up on it, you know. See, God uses, and we're going to see in this financial series that we're doing, different things that maybe you've never heard before. God uses your obedience to bless you in the house of God, in the plan of God. We see that in the Word, that your harvest depends on you. The windows of heaven depend on you, what you do with your money. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. A faithful man will abound in blessings. That's why when I said, Lord, if that money doesn't come in, what's going to happen? So I'll give the opportunity to somebody else. God's always giving us an opportunity to increase, but that's why I said that green envelope, where's one of those green envelopes at? Right here? This represents an opportunity, but for that opportunity to be partook upon and for you to be blessed, you have to put something in there. You have to do something for that opportunity to work for your own life. Amen?
Amen.
And when people aren't faithful financially, and when people don't do it, the word says, now let me just say this to you, because we have a lot of newer folks. When you're a little baby Christian, you first come in and get saved, God will put up with some things.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't put up with the same things with Abby I do now as when she was 2 years old. She had a lot more leeway when she was two. A lot less when she's four, and a lot less when she's seven, when she's Caleb's age. Well, when you grow in Christ, and you hear the word over and over and over again, there becomes a responsibility to do it, to do the word. And you might come in, and God will bless you at first, just you're a brand new baby, and God's doing everything for you. But God eventually expects you to stand on your own. That means you use your own faith. That means you, when you hear the word, you have a responsibility to do it. Amen. And when you don't do the word financially, you don't realize how you're robbing from yourself and robbing from the opportunity to be a part of something greater than yourself, which ultimately ends up leading into more money in your pocket.
Amen.
It does. Hallelujah. And I see people struggle with this. I'll tell you the story. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Had a family from the south that was, when we were in the storefront, there's a bunch of them. There's like five or six kids. There was a mom. There was a sister. There was a brother. There was I believe a grandma and uncle. There's a bunch of people. I mean, there was a lot of people. And they were there for, almost a year's time. And they all individually wrote me a handwritten letter. It was one of the sweetest things anyone's ever done for me. And these letters were long. I'm thankful they didn't have the Grandma Alice anointing, or I would have needed an interpreter. Have you ever seen her handwriting? She'll write me a card and I'll say, Dear Jesus, you got to help me. Lord, what does this say? And she says, my handwriting's worse, and she's not telling the truth. Don't you point, you put your finger down. Put that down. And they wrote me long letters. It was long letters. And in these letters, the sweetest, Pastor Mike, you don't know how thankful we are that you preach the word. Since we've came here and they started to listen, the kids, even the youngest to the oldest kid, and the mom and the sister, and the brother, they all tell me how great and wonderful things have been happening. It was so sweet. A couple times, Wednesday night service, they would come, and I'd call the kids up, and I'd minister to the kids supernaturally about their past. And the kids would cry, and the mom would cry. I said, how'd you know to say that? I said, the Lord loves you so much. And just thank me. Well, over time, some things happened. They got, again, thinking. Devil will mess with your thought life. They ran into some financial trouble over some time, and they had a death in the family down south. Church helped pay for some. They couldn't, they needed some help. So, I want you to be down there with your family. I found out by my own the funeral home, because I want it to be a surprise. Found out the funeral home, I went and looked at the down south in the paper, looked online for the obituary, found out who it was, sent flowers there, just wanted to be a blessing, and so they went down, they came back the following week. We're thankful, But that service that they came back after being gone, I preached, and man, almost always, not maybe across the board always, but almost always, I'll mention church attendance when I'm preaching. Why? People need to know it's important. You got to be here when you get your mail. If you're not here to get your mail, I'm amazed. Now, here I go again, out of that, open the door. I am amazed at the things that come out of my mouth that were directly what somebody needed to hear, and they never hear it, and they never get online, they never hear it. And this blessing sits there that would have changed. I've been in services where one thing the pastor said or one thing the minister said changed the whole course of my life. You know how many times those words and those packages sit in the heavenly mailbox? And people don't get it, so that's why I talk about it. You got to be here. You got to take interest in your own feeding. Amen. Hallelujah. And so they're there, and I mentioned something about church attendance, and we're in the storefront, so there's maybe 20 or 30 people there. And maybe it's as wide as this middle section. And I'm looking at people, you know, because I think it's more distracting if I preach like this. It just seems like that would just kind of ruin the flow. I don't know, maybe not. And maybe I should wear sunglasses or something. And I'm preaching, and I mentioned church attendance. I wasn't thinking about anybody. Just got to be faithful. Why? Because the more you hear it, the more you'll know it. Faith to come to church will be there when you hear and hear and hear how important it is to be here. Then you'll have faith to actually realize it's worth getting up in the morning. It's worth maneuvering my schedule. It's worth making things happen to be in the house of God if I keep saying and saying and saying it. Right. Amen. It's the truth. So that's what I was doing. Not trying to hurt anyone or condemn anybody. Not thinking about anybody. Well, then I didn't see him for 4 or 5 weeks. So I call him up, say, what in the world's going on? Is everything okay? And the person that I got a hold of, you know, is kind of the family spokesperson. I said, we ain't coming back no more. I said, what? What do you mean you're not coming back no more? I said, I got letters. It's kind of like the people that leave. And I got text messages from a month ago when you told me I was the greatest thing in the world. How much you love me. What thought got into your head in 30 days that had you going from I love you, we're so grateful, to we're not coming back, and we won't even sit down with you. We won't even tell you why. It's garbage. And it's hurtful. I'll just say the truth, it's hurtful. I'd never do that to you. I'd never turn my back on you, ever. If you want to leave, fine, but at least sit down and tell the person that you told you love so much why you're going. If you just vanish and never hear anything. And they tell me, oh, God's been telling me this for a long time. They use this Christianese talk to get me off their back. But no, 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 a month ago you said this is the greatest place ever. I got proof on my phone. Yeah. I said, what do you mean you're going? I got letters. Why are you going? What happened? Well, we came back from the funeral. And you looked right at us when you said the church attendance thing. And we know you're mad that we went to that funeral. I said, what in the world are you talking about? I said, that's garbage. I paid and helped you go there. I do funerals. I want family to be together during these times. Why would I care? And I'm thinking, this is the craziest thing. But then the Holy Ghost chimes in and says, that's not the reason they're not coming back. They can't stand that you talk about tithing. I said, whoa, stop. I said, you're not gone because of church attendance. You and I both know I was glad you got to go. And if I'm a pastor that gets upset that people miss because they're out of town for family things at a funeral, then I got an issue myself. I said, that's not the problem. I said, in fact, you can't stand that I talk about tithing. And she said on the other end of the phone, she said, you're right, I can't stand it. I said, I know, the Holy Ghost just told me that. He just confirmed it again, but the Holy Ghost just told me that. You can't stand it. I said, you're going through a financial trial. The devil's talking to you. She said, you talk about it. You talk about it. You talk about it. I said, wait a minute. Do I talk about it or is that what the Bible says? You do. It's kind of like the one person I was dealing with one time. They're saying, you expect me to forgive that? You expect me to forgive that? How? You didn't go through that. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. And you expect me to forgive that? How? You're unreasonable. I said, wait a second. Did I tell you to forgive that? Or did Jesus in Mark 11:25 say, if you have anything against anybody, forgive? And I said that to the person. I said, nope, you told me to forgive. You expect? I said, wait a second. Did I tell you to forgive or did Jesus tell you to forgive? You told me. I said, stop. I said, Mark 11:25 says, and if you have anything against anybody, forgive. I said, that's what Jesus said. I said, I'm just relaying what my Savior said. If you have a problem with it, you take it up with him. I said, I don't talk about tithing. I said, the Word talks about tithing and I'm the messenger boy. And I said, don't leave the church. Don't stop tithing. I said, this will be your future because this is what the Bible says. Don't. You were planted. You heard. You received things. You have responsibility. Now don't leave the church. Never heard, never saw from them again until old Leadfoot Anderson here got a speeding ticket. I don't know about you. Jim and Cindy, you know you live there. I'm coming out of Sinclairville, taking a left, going down by your house. Why in the world is that still 30 miles an hour? I thought when I got out of town, she's amening me, she knows. I thought when I got out of town, it'd be at least up to 40 or 45. And I'm going 47 up over that hill and down the hill. And I see a police officer. There's a road that goes around, then a road that goes up a hill. He's sitting on the road that goes up the hill. And he's sitting there. And I'm thinking, I didn't even slow down. Because I'm getting ready to go on to the 55. And I'm thinking, I've been... And he turns his lights on. I'm on my way to church on a Wednesday night. And he pulls me over. I'm going a little fast back there, aren't you? I said, I thought, and this is what I said. I wasn't trying to be cocky. I said, I think I was going 2 miles an hour over. I thought it was a 45 and I was going 47. He said, no, this is, I think it's a 30, right? There, the 30. Because you're going 17 over. I said, what? Why is that 30? I'm like, why is that 30? I don't understand. I said, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. He gave me a ticket. He was not a nice man. Oh, he didn't care. If I was the Pope, did not matter to him at all. And I got my ticket. Oh, man, I got my ticket. Praise the Lord. Yeah, oh, it was bad. I got my ticket, had to go to court. So I was going to court. And I walk in, the judge says, sit down. I sit in the back, you know. And in walks the I can't stand tither lady. She doesn't see me, and I'm sitting kind of hiding in the back. And she's up in front of the judge. And the judge, now what was interesting, he read the dates, and I could hear everything. And it was right about the time that she left the church. He starts reading all these things that went wrong in her life. In a rap sheet of this happened. And, I mean, he's like sarcastically doing it. Can't believe how much she has and that she's in front of him again. And it was right about the time. See, one thing you're going to learn in this series, people, is that what you do with your money doesn't always translate in a money return. Sometimes it returns in things that you can't afford to not have return. You don't realize, and we'll look at some a little bit today. We won't have much time today. We're going to almost be done anyways. You're going to see money is so vital to be faithful with it. And you're going to see in the Word that some of the blessings that come back to people for being faithful with the tithe and the offering, it's not just showing up in your checkbook. It will show up there, but it's other things. Favor. Just a bunch of different things. And she, from the time she left, and I told her, I said, your life's going to be hell on earth. And he's reading this. And then he gets to the last offense and the reason she's there. And some of you heard this story before. And he says, and this time, he's like, I've seen it all. He's like, this takes the cake. He's like, now you're in front of me. And the police officer has written down on the sheet that he pulled you over while driving because you had both hands in the chips and dip. I could not make that up if I tried. That is exactly, and I am trying so hard. My heart's broken, and I'm thinking this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Like, I'm just trying to decide which one has more weight, because I'm like, that is going to preach for forever. I don't even know, both hands in the chips and dip. Both hands? Why not just... Both hands. I mean, you talk about being into the chips and dip. But my point was, she wasn't faithful financially. And it set off a domino effect of hell on earth in her life. And it didn't need to be that way. And now my heart breaks for those kids. My heart breaks for that family. All because they got tripped up. It's the number one thing that people get offended about. It's the number one thing that people struggle with. It's the number one thing where people are disobedient. Financially, are you ready to see some things that will help you? Amen. To get your mind straight? And again, this is going to be a series, so we're not going to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. I've got quite a revelation. The heart can only receive as much as the hind end can bear. And so when your rear starts checking out, your heart goes with it. So anyways, are you ready? Just a couple things. I want to look at biblical facts about money. First of all, go to Isaiah 55. And if you're struggling financially, you ought to go home and thank your lucky stars for Pastor Mike hearing from heaven, because this will help you. And if you're, and don't get prideful if you're here and say, I got this down. No, maybe, just maybe, you'll learn something that will help you increase more. Amen. Amen. Stop saying, oh, it'll all work out. It'll all work out. I know God's got me. God's got my back. If you're not doing the word, stop it. That's called garbage religion. That's called watered down Christianity that thinks, que sera, sera, that whatever will be, that God will just do it when he wants to do it. Yeah. You're fooling yourself. There's a God side and a man side. I had a lady come up to me last night. She told me I could share the story. I won't tell her name, but she came up to me. She said, I got hands laid on me for the Sister Annie meeting. She said, I have this problem with my sugar and diabetes and different pain and things in my body. She said, I got hands laid on me and I went and prayed. And the Lord said, okay, now the anointing went in you, but you need to change your diet. God side, man side. She said, you know what, Pastor Mike? She said, I had it in my heart to go off my medicine. My family freaked out when I did. She said, it spiked at first, but I had it on my heart. I said, make sure it's on your heart. Because medicine's not bad. Right. Just take medicine in faith. You don't go off your medicine until the Spirit of God explicitly says go off it. You get yourself in trouble if your faith's not there yet. You're not out of faith by taking medicine. Get in faith while taking your medicine. Praise God. But she said, no, I know I'm supposed to, but it spiked. She said, but I know. My family gave me a hard time. She said, Lord said, change your diet. She said, I did. She said, all the pain in my side went away. She said, forgive me if you do this and test and I sound ignorant. She said, whatever it was, her numbers or whatever, were 30 points lower and in a good area than they had ever been on medication. What is that? That's not just going up, oh, some healer lay hands on me. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, but there's still a Holy Ghost. There's still a word you got to follow. Yes, God loves you, but stop thinking, oh, everything's going to turn around. Everything's going to turn around. You don't show up for church. You're not faithful. You don't serve. You're not the willing and obedient, the faithful man. I'm just trying to help you. So you need to know what to do financially, and then you need to do it if everything's really going to work out for you financially. Amen? Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So you know what I'm going to say right before we get started? You need to take your thoughts concerning money. You need to take your thoughts concerning biblical prosperity and leave them behind. Yeah. Because they're not God's. And if you come here and find out, that's what I was thinking and believing anyways, well, then you know you were thinking God's way. But a lot of times people bring their thoughts, their ways into the equation. That's the problem. Yeah. Doing it your way. His ways are perfect, because the next verse says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So the thought you have about your money, first of all, that's a garbage thought right there. What do you mean your money? You mean the money that you got because you happen to have a healthy body and a sound mind? And an air supply that's still turned on that allows you to breathe and favor to get a job and a healthy body to work. Oh, you mean, oh, wait, I forgot you were born naked with nothing. Everything that you have from the point of birth is bonus territory. Amen. Yeah. And we get this my money complex. No. All the cattle and the silver and gold and all the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the silver and gold are mine, declares the Lord. All it is has been given to you is to be a steward of it. It's not yours. It's all His. Oh, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. No, it's not. You're being a bad steward of what He allowed you to have. Amen. So take your thoughts and your ways and leave them off and say, okay, I'm coming to this with a fresh mind. Don't trust anything I say. Make sure it's in the Bible. Don't just be that baby bird that's got their mouth open and mama can drop a stick of dynamite in there and that bird will gobble that thing up. Don't be that. Right? Make sure what pastor's saying is the word. I'm not just saying take my word for it, but I'm telling you, I'm going to teach you about prosperity the right way. Hallelujah. And look at some biblical facts about money. And we'll just do this one thing today and then we'll close. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 21. Matthew 6 and verse 21. See, we don't see things the way God sees things. We need to see things the way God sees things. That would help us. Because when the reason that when I say the word tithe, it ticks people off. And the reason I say things about offering, it ticks people off. Is because you don't see money the same way God sees money. That's your problem. You're not looking at it through His view. You don't see it through the view of honor. You don't see it through the view of love. You don't see it through the view of your heart. You don't see it that way. You just see it as infringing upon your stuff and your little selfish little world and might be affected if I have to become generous. That's what you see it through. A selfish perspective. But let's see what God says about money. Matthew 6 and verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, that money you worked hard for, that money you saved, that money you'd had a business and did, God giving you gifts and talents to get a business and do things, that money you have. He said, your treasure. He says, wherever that money goes, He said, your heart will be connected with it. That's what Jesus said. So, if God says, do something with your money, tithes, offerings, speak something on your heart, and you don't do it, stop saying, Lord, my heart's with you. Lord, I love you with all my heart. Father, I'm with you till the end. No, you're not. You're a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about their words are with flattery, and they worship me with their words, but their heart is far from me. You can do this all you want. You can put the bumper stickers on your car. You can get a Jesus tattoo. You can. And you can get bumper stickers and put things on Facebook and post verses. Come in church and sing the loudest, raise your hands the highest. But if your heart's not with Him, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. God's not interested in people that go through the motions. You know what God's interested in? Your heart. What did He say about David? He said, I love His heart. His heart is for me. It's after me. It wants what I want. Well, God says your money and where your money goes and what you do with your money is a sign of your heart.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You know that old hill song? You know, I'm so thankful for Brother Hagin. Ministers say this. He said he cured people from the fear of repetition. Every year, Brother Hagin would preach the same sermons, say the same analogies, say the same stories, same illustrations. I have hundreds and hundreds of hours of him preaching. And I could almost tell you almost all the stories that he talked about. Why? The more you hear it, the more you do it and have faith for it. Praise God.
Amen.
So when I say this, you've heard this before, but it's the truth. You know, we have that old hill song. It's, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Really, what should be sung by Christians is, the truth is, Lord, I give you my heart, but with my wallet I won't part. You can't say, Lord, I love you. My heart's with you. Don't talk to me about my money. You can't. Money is the sign of your heart. That's from the Master, people. That's not from me. The Master said that.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, I love you with all my heart. Don't talk to me about the tithe. Don't talk to me about giving offering. Oh, don't speak to me about sacrifices in the building fund or the parking lot fund. Oh, you're saying, Lord, you can't have my heart. And that's all He wants is your heart.
Right.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Money is a sign of your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Now, again, let me balance this with something. If you're newer, and you've never heard about the tithe, you've never heard about the offering, which as I look around, that's nobody. Yeah, that's nobody. That means, and I'm just going to say it, and we'll look at this, and again, bear with me through this series. If you're not a tither, and you're not giving offerings, and you're not following your spirit, your heart's not with Him.
That's right.
Amen.
Money stands between you and your Savior.
Amen.
Yeah. And you're going to see some things. I wish I could preach the whole sermon on biblical facts about money. Don't you dare not come next week. And if you already had plans to be out of town, make sure you listen. Amen? Because you need to hear it. Of course, if you're out of town, you can't be here. I understand. But make sure you listen. Because this will change your life.
Amen.
Because remember, God's purpose is that you prosper. If good news, people, if God's going to call you to fund things, He's going to have to make sure you have money. So the tithe is not to try to make you broke. The offering is not to try to make you broke. Speaking to your heart about things is not to make you broke. It's to increase you. So you want to hear this stuff to get your mind renewed to it.
Praise God.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Now, just for time's sake, chapter 8 and verse 9, chapter 9 are an offering that Paul is getting ready to take up. And chapter 8, 1 through 8, he talks about the Macedonia church, the church at Philippi, the Philippians. He talks about the offering they gave, and he's bragging about them. And if you go down and read that in your own time, he's saying, man, they really, in Pastor Mike terms, knocked it out of the park. They were generous. And so he's saying, I'm giving you the opportunity now. And remember, even over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you talk about a bold minister. He's getting ready to take up an offering. He says, I just want to remind you, if you give a little, you're going to get a little. Up to you. If you give a lot, you'll get a lot. He tells them that's bold, but it's the truth. But in chapter 8 and verse 8, look what he says. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. He's saying, I'm speaking in terms of what they already did. They gave big and sacrificially. Now notice this. And to prove. To prove. To demonstrate the sincerity of your love. You know what Paul's saying? I'm going to find out how much you love the work of God. I'm going to find out how much you love the plan of God. I'm going to find out how much your heart's with this by what shows up in this offering. Amen. Amen. He's saying your giving, your money will show if your heart is in it or not. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because where your treasure goes, your heart follows. Right. There's no different for Jesus. What did it say over there in John 3:16? For God so loved that He...
Gave.
Wait, God so loved that He...
Gave.
When you so love, you'll... It's the truth.
Amen.
The people that I'm fondest of and love are the ones I give to the most, sacrifice the most, spend the most money on. Well, I love them. It's a demonstration of that love. It's a demonstration. Now, I always feel like I get weird looks, but let's not be religious and let's not be weird when I say this. If somebody walks up to you, Jeff, let's just shake your hand. Brother, I appreciate you. That's good. You're glad. Wow, pastor appreciates me. Pastor has a $100 bill in his hand, says, brother, I appreciate you. It's yours. You tell me which one meant more. You tell me, and I say, oh, you materialistic. No, no, no. You know that the one that did this with the 100 in it is going to have way more weight than the one that wasn't. Why? Because the giving and the sacrifice demonstrated to you their love. That's why when people bless us and people give to us, it's nice. Obviously, it's nice getting things. Yeah, that'll never get old, right? I mean, you get a present or a blessing, that's great. But that's not, when I get it, that's not my first thought. It's like, oh, wow, yay, for me, more money or a blessing for me or my kids. No. My first thought always is what Paul thought when the Macedonian church gave. He said, oh, not that I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that's going to abound to your account.
Amen.
That's number one that comes into my heart. I think, oh man, the harvest they're going to get. Because I love you. But the second thing that comes into my heart is, oh my goodness, they love me.
Yeah.
That was a sacrifice. Their heart is with me. Why? Because their money was with me.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. That's what Paul said. I'll prove and demonstrate how sincere you are by what your money says.
Amen.
I've found the people that have the most miracles, blessings, things, just joy in their life. Doesn't mean they're exempt from tests and trials. But the ones that are thriving and flourishing the most with God are the ones that money is not in the way.
Right.
Their money is on the altar. Lord, whatever you want. Tithe, yes, sir. Offerings, yes, sir. Okay, this offering, building fund, yes, sir. Parking lot, yes, sir. This ministry, yes, sir. This minister, yes, sir. This family member, yes, sir. This coworker, yes, sir. This friend, yes, sir. Their money's on the altar.
Amen.
Why? Because their heart's with Him.
Amen.
So next week we'll pick up part two of looking at biblical facts about money. So the first fact we've seen is that it's not just money to God. It's a heart issue.
Amen.
It's a love issue.
Right.
It's a sincerity issue. Amen? So get your heart right. If you need to repent, if you have not been a tither, if you have not been given offerings, if you don't obey when He says do something, you know that's a heart problem. You know what I found out is when I closed my Bible and we closed the service? That if you find out you have heart symptoms, it's bad to just let those go.
Right.
You want to get that checked out and get it fixed. And usually the people that just ignore it are the ones that run into trouble down the road. That lady that I talked to on the phone had a heart problem.
Yeah.
No, she had a money problem. Yes, I know, she had a heart problem. She didn't acknowledge the symptoms, didn't fix the symptoms, and it ended up showing up later in life. If you realize you got a heart problem, it's time to get right with God. It's time to consecrate. It's kind of time to come to Him and say, I'm sorry. And He's not trying to condemn you, make you feel bad. He's trying to pick you up and say, hey, I got a better life for you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, are you blessed?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. No, there should be no reason anyone will struggle with money after this series, because we're going to hit it all. We're going to touch on it all. And Lord, I just pray for the people that are here this morning. For the ones that have maybe realized I got some heart symptoms. Lord, I pray they would not let those go. First of all, I pray that their eyes would be opened. But we're not trying to manipulate or take anything from them. We're trying to get them blessed, which gets the kingdom blessed, which then in turn blesses them even more. But Father, I pray that they would realize this is not something to let go. And Lord, I thank you these coming messages to see what our money actually does for us and the blessings that come from our money. Father, I thank you that as we go on in this series, Lord, it'll become apparent to people that, wow, this is important. And so, Father, I pray for them that they would not take condemnation or fear or worry, but that they would submit and consecrate themselves to your plan. For that's the best. That's the highest. That's where the flow of prosperity and peace and blessing is. So I pray for each and every one of those people. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I already surveyed the audience or the crowd or the congregation, however you want to put it, and I know everybody in here is born again. I know that. We've all accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and so there's no reason to pretend that we're not saved or that God took it away, because He didn't. But there might be somebody listening by live stream right now or in the future via the archives, and so we pray for them, and we pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And if you're listening, you say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says there's heaven and there's hell, and the way to go to heaven is by receiving Jesus. The way to miss hell is to receive Jesus. And all you have to do to receive Jesus is meet two requirements. Number one, you got to believe that Jesus was real, that He died on the cross. That's number one. And number two is you just have to ask Him in your heart. If you can say, I do believe in Jesus, then you got one out of the two done. The second thing you do is you need to invite Him into your heart. So I don't even know what that means. I've never talked to God. I don't know. Well, I'm going to show you what to do. All you do is you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and I believe you rose again. Please come into my heart. If you do that, He is so excited to come in because He's been knocking. The Bible says He stands at the door and knocks, knocks, knocks. And when you open that door, He rushes in. So if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, send us an email. Give me a call. The email address should be online. The phone number should be online. And let me know, and we'll get you hooked up and started in this life with God. Let's just thank Him this morning for the change that's coming in our finances. Lord, we love you this morning. We need to be walking in the fullness of what you have for us because people's lives depend on it. It's not just about what we want, what we can get, but what we can do for others. So Lord, we thank you as we go forward. We'll be instructed of what to do financially and we'll obey and be honorable. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30. Don't forget, there's some goodies over in the old sanctuary. You are dismissed.
When I win, I can see. When I lose my step and I fall down again, I can see, 'cause you pick me up. See, 'cause you're there. Thank you.